Hey y'all, welcome back to But Not All at Once, the podcast for people who have a lot of questions after rewatching Home Alone as an adult. Number one, why is that uncle so rude? Sir, you are getting a free vacation. That does not mean that you get to insult a person's children in their own home. Also, watch your mouth. Were all of those words in the movie 25 years ago? I definitely glossed over them in my memory, and they didn't come back to mind until I was showing this nostalgic, happy little piece of my childhood to my own children. Lesson learned. I'm glad you're here. Today we talk to Kim Mogan, the founder of Girl Up Greenville, an organization that's doing some really important work for marginalized middle and high school girls in my hometown. I walked away, and honestly, the way I think about our community has changed, not because of anything external, but because of the awareness I have that people need us. People need each other. Kim encourages us to look around for ways to serve those in our community, not because we're so great and have it all together and our lives are wonderful and we want to just graciously bestow that upon them, but because we love them. Just genuinely loving people, inviting them into your life and reaching out to be a part of theirs. Kim is teaching these middle and high school girls that they are loved, that they have worth and value, and she's demonstrating to us and to the community at large what it means to have that integral truth instilled in you deeply in everything from the way you interact with adults, the way you learn life skills, fill out college applications, learn self-defense. What she's doing is really all-encompassing. It's being there, mentoring young women as a relatively young woman herself, and just being a consistent part of her life. Much like parenting, we talk about how Kim is learning as much in preparing these girls for the real world as they're learning. It's a real eye-opener to hear her perspective on young people who live within the same city limits. You can hear the emotion in her voice when she talks about what these girls mean to her, the disadvantages that they have, and what they're going to do in the world despite that. It's truly powerful, and I look forward to hearing all of your thoughts about how this has inspired you to get involved in your own community. Take a listen. So I'm here with Kim Mogan, and we've been talking for like 17 years at this point. So we figured we would probably just turn the mic on and like see what happened.
Sure.
And I would love for you to introduce yourself to people. Tell us what you do, which for even people with the most basic job descriptions can be a little challenging. Like it's hard to boil oneself down to like a couple of verbs.
Yeah.
In a couple of sentences, especially for a life like the one you're living, which is, by the way, going to build some real mystery for people who are tuning in. So feel free to lean into that 007 level of shrouded excitement. And tell us what you're up to, what you do, who you are, what your family looks like.
Yeah. So I am from Greenville.
Yeah.
I was born and raised here. I moved away for a couple years, lived in Colorado. And then moved back when my sister started having kids.
So good, I could be good reason them. To come home.
Yeah, they're the best. And then I met my husband. And so
in Greenville?
In Greenville. And a month after I moved back. So a little bit purpose maybe in that. Didn't know that was going to happen. And we've been married for 5 years now. So
We were just saying that you were a legit, official, real deal.
Married.
Yeah.
It's like real.
Mm-hmm. Like you're not little precious newlyweds who like do you wear a full face of makeup when he comes home and cook him a 6-course meal?
Oh no, I'm actually.
What is the opposite of that thing? Because that is me.
Oh yeah, well we've just had a conversation because there are a lot of things going on in my life and I am a perfectionist, so we had to pick a few things that I could be bad at for a little bit.
That sounds freeing.
One of them is cooking right now. I'm going to choose to be bad at cooking dinners.
Bad, like you don't care how they taste or like you don't care if you cook them?
Oh, don't care if I cook them.
Let's clarify that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I love good taste, but not so much the...
It has to be cooked every night. Like, did anyone ever think that through? Why do we have to have an evening meal every night? It's exhausting.
And I'm also cheap. So like, I like the idea of cooking at home and I do like to cook, but... I just am choosing to be bad at that right now. So that happens in 5 years of marriage.
What else are you choosing to be bad at? Because I'm going to start taking... By the way, you should know I'm choosing to be bad at this podcast. And by that, I mean, I'm like, if we can make it happen, cool. And if not,
it'll be okay.
The other thing I'm choosing to be bad at is cleaning my house. I, once again, going back to the perfectionist, and we were kind of talking about this earlier, but with some construction happening in our house, it is a hot mess. Mm. And instead of wiping the counters down every day, I am just letting them collect all the dust, and yes, we will just clean it at one
that
time.
That dust will stay there.
In the future.
You should know that. It is not going anywhere.
Right.
And also, this is the most Enneagram one in conversation. I'm going to plan and make a list of the things I will let slide to a 20 to 25% degree.
Oh my gosh. But in my mind, it's like, this is what I have to do.
Wild and free. Living your best life. Yeah. Enneagram 7s are getting twitchy listening to this conversation.
Yeah.
But I get that. So, and 5 years is long enough to know, like, you're not going anywhere.
So our house is going to be messy. Right. If you want to clean it, which he's great, so he will do whatever.
But sometimes y'all just both want to sit on the couch, even if it's covered in a tarp.
Yeah, and I'm just scooting the tarp over now at this point to just embrace it.
It's a metaphor for so many things in life. Just do what you can do. Right. So you are an aunt and uncle to three little people who live here in Greenville.
Yes.
And you spend a lot of time with other, maybe not quite as small children.
Ooh, right, yeah. So I...
That was a great A segue, was it not?
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, yeah, so I recently started a program called Girl Up Greenville. And it is a program that serves marginalized middle and high school girls in Greenville County. So yes, currently have about 15 kids.
That's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people, but they're amazing. So,
and how connected are you in these lives? I mean, are we talking about people, you know, their first, middle, last name, you know, their birthday, you know, if they're dating someone?
Yes. Let me, I'll kind of tell the whole story of how I got to doing my own program, because that,
That's why I brought you here. Don't let me interrupt you. Get after it, girl.
So I previously worked at another nonprofit in Greenville, and I did that for 4.5 years. And, with them, I started their middle school program and started with a group of sixth graders, and those sixth graders are now rising seniors. So all of the girls that are currently in our high school program are girls that I've known since they were in sixth grade. So it's,
and in the mind of a high schooler, that's basically since the turn of the century.
Right. So it's a lot of life, a lot of relationship equity, which is amazing, and just a lot of, I'll use another cheesy word, a lot of different seasons.
Yeah, we've made a long list of the Christianese phrases that just flow off the tongue and might be meaningless to other people. Seasons, I will give you a pass on this
that
one.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That seems legit.
So a lot of different seasons for them. So, yeah, it's more than just their names. It is knowing really a lot of their family dynamics. Even just because from sixth grade to senior year, or sixth grade to even 10th grade year, so much of who you are as a person develops.
It's a lot of growing up.
Yeah, so it is, it's a lot of life.
Everything that really mattered to me emotionally when I lived at home happened after the sixth grade.
Mm.
I mean, really anything before that was just, you know, we got to play with the parachutes in PE, and that was like a red letter day, and maybe someone tripped down the front steps and we all talked about it. But there's really nothing deeply formative emotionally to me as an individual that happened before then. I mean, that was when you had your own opinions about music and boys.
Oh, man, we have opinions.
And so, and you got to try them out. Sometimes they're bad ones.
You're right.
Sometimes they're not
exactly
great opinions.
Right. You're right. You don't know. I mean, you don't know until you start trying and having those conversations with people. And
the clothes that we might have worn or wanted to wear, and you know, the people that, the things we thought it was okay to say or do. Like, I was reading something the other day that said it's really pivotal that we give kids freedom to do things in that relatively safe time where they're under the shelter and have the safety net of adults, where when we kind of launch them into the wider world, you know, you say something sort of thoughtless and the consequences are a bit more permanent or dire.
Right.
But, you know, at 12, one dumb thing comes out of somebody's mouth, you know, every hour and a half. So you're good.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Yes. And currently with the new sixth graders, there's work. There's work to be done. And that doesn't mean they're not great, but there's just...
They're forming.
Yes.
We're all still forming. Do not want to be held up to who I was a decade ago.
Oh, girl.
Or I'm just like cringing at some of... You ever go back and read old emails and think, why? Like, God bless all of you who stuck around.
Oh, man. To be honest, if we're just going to put things out there for people.
Let's see, no one listens to this, so it's fine.
Okay, great. Who I am is dynamically different, like so different than who I was like in high school. And being from Greenville is a very different...
It's tough to shake.
Right. And so I'm the person who is like, don't ask me what high school I went to, because if they knew me...
Don't connect the dots.
I'm embarrassed that they knew me. If they didn't know me, that's good. Like, I don't want to know anyone that I...
Meet me today.
Right.
Ask me my married name and don't dig any deeper.
Right. If I think I know you from high school, I'm just going to put my head down and keep on going.
I mean, how many Facebook friends do we all have that when we see someone out of the corner of our eye in Target, and it's not even like I don't like you. It's just, do you remember me? Do I remember you? What would we talk about?
And then what
about?
Are we going to... We're going to make it weird just to say, hey, I don't need to do that.
It's so... We're like, hey, that backyard barbecue you had looked fun. I mean, no.
Right, because then that's weird. Because then you're
so
like,
weird.
I know about your life, but I actually don't even want to say hey.
I went through a whole season where I realized there were people I knew by virtue of, you know, just everyone was in 75 weddings that year. And so I would see all of these pictures of brides. And I remember meeting someone and having to act like, oh, you're married?
Oh,
congratulations.
My gosh.
I totally didn't see your beautiful light blue hydrangeas or question the taste of the sashes on your bridesmaids' dresses. Definitely not at
didn't
all.
Didn't see any of that.
Tell me more.
Yeah.
Did I let it slip somehow?
Oh, my gosh.
April 23rd? What? No? Yeah. It's an interesting thing. And your girls are growing up in such a time where... Even though you do have that safety net, there are a lot more digital footprints.
Oh, yeah. That was a conversation we had last week, actually talking about social. We've had it a couple of times.
How do you really explain that? Because when you're in the sixth grade, you know, I remember things 12 years ago like they were, you know, last week. And that's when these children were born. And trying to understand the implications of something that sticks around forever. When you're applying for jobs or dating, or
it is hard. I think so. With the high school girls, it's different because we have all these years together. That they do trust me and value my opinion, and so with the sixth graders, it is a reminder that we're building trust, and it just is going to have to come through repetition and through other people communicating the same things that I'm communicating so that I don't just look like a crazy lady.
The one nutcase.
Crazy person. Mm-hmm.
I can say, though, that someone who's not your family saying something to you, if I had a dollar for every time a teacher was quoted back to me saying something I had already said verbatim to my child.
Yeah.
But, you know, Mrs. Mogan said that it's really good to eat a good breakfast the day of a field trip. Like, she did. She gave you the most common sense advice ever. That's life-changing. Sit down and eat.
Right.
We had this discussion already.
Yeah. So I welcome, like, people in the community coming and volunteering or us going out and doing things in the community because it's more people saying the same thing, right?
Can I give you some talking points? Could you repeat what I told them last week, just really subtle-like? That'd be so great. So let's back up a little bit and talk about... How long Girl Up Greenville's been going on, how it came about, because I think
that's a good
we were
question.
Saying it's kind of a nebulous thing, these projects. It sort of sprout from your heart more than, you know, like a corporate, a board sat down and we got venture capital and we ran the business plan together.
Oh my gosh, I wish that was my story. My one personality wants that to be the case.
It would be so great, like just boom, 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 bullet point, signed off by the board. Here we go. But it's things like this podcast, for example, that are not on the straight and narrow makes this sound shady. So I'm looking for a different word, but it's just not a straight path from A to B. Yeah. And you're not totally sure where it started. But then all of a sudden it just made sense and it comes together. And so where you worked in this nonprofit, you were already kind of in the space of supporting marginalized kids.
Yes.
And were you working mostly with girls?
Yes. So I I mean, I did other things for the organization as far as like admin stuff and that sort of thing. And kind of, but yes, I focused specifically on girls. I mean, I would touch base with the middle school boys just because I would go to the school and see them and that sort of thing. But I just think, especially at this age, having a female be the person that they're kind absolutely. Of, you know, obviously it's like a mentorship. So having
that in common.
Yeah. So this kind of started, so about almost 2 years ago, I left that organization and was in a place in my life that I just kind of needed to take a step back and do some of my own self-work.
That's the most millennial thing I've ever heard.
Self-care.
Hashtag.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, there can be fruit that comes from these things. It's not all like hot chocolate and slippers.
Oh, yeah. No. It was actually a lot of emotional work that I was doing. And so it was actually very exhausting.
The unfun. Sometimes self-care is not just like a binging Grey's Anatomy. Sometimes it's doing things that make you cry.
Yeah.
But I mean,
you know, and going back to more cheesy words, but it really was like knowing that the Lord had a plan. I don't know. I mean, I know that sounds so crazy when that isn't your life, you know?
I mean, it sounds crazy if you haven't been there, though.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when there isn't, especially if you're a planner, like it sounds like you might be, a roadmap is preferable. Creator of the universe, please.
Yeah. Just beam it down and I will follow it.
Right, for sure.
I will.
But I would love like a 3-year plan. If we could just get some projections out there, what the numbers look like.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Assurance of happiness would be, I mean, just not mandatory would be appreciated.
That would, sprinkle that in.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know,
that's not so much how
it works. And sometimes it does take listening to people who know more than you and figuring your own junk out, which, because I mean, how far out of high school were you when all of this was going on?
So I started working at the other nonprofit when I was 23, I think.
So there's still, I didn't even know I needed to learn things when I was 23.
Oh, girl, no.
I remember being like, what do you mean I shouldn't apply for this director of public relations position? I have a master's degree. I'm clearly ready for a job.
Yes. Yeah.
I remember this guy being like, no, for sure. You should just do it then. That would be great. I realize 23. Oh, that's so precious.
So, baby, I know.
Just get a little life under your belt.
Yeah. So I did that for a while. Took a step back. But I still had these relationships with these girls that I worked with because we really are friends. Like, they're really a part of my life. It wasn't just like this community center, like at 8 to 5, we're done. Even during the years that I worked there, it wasn't like this. I was just, they're real people. I really am invested in their lives. I really care about them. I really want the best for them. And so for the last year and a half, I have just kind of was this rogue lady in the community, still doing stuff with them and trying to further create opportunities for them in the community as well. And this year, I mean, had anyone told me in January, even January, that I was gonna do this now, I would have laughed probably. But I just was super intentional. Another cheesy word, but super intentional.
We're gonna be writing all these down. Oh my gosh. Listen.
About praying, honestly, how to use my passions and how to use like what I care about and these girls, like how does this all work? I just didn't know how the pieces fit.
Right.
And,
you see like the raw material, but not, it's like those stupid Lego booklets that these kids get.
Right.
You're like, in no way
is this going to make
this jumble of tiny foot killing plastic going to become the 4 towers of the Harry Potter Quidditch tournament.
And you get 27 of these and one of these, and it is going to make it
I don't have any of the above because I just bow out from the jump. My blood pressure spikes even thinking about it. So imagining this on a life scale where there are humans involved
and
girls who are looking to you for, you know, mentorship, friendship, guidance, and newsflash, I mean, middle school and high school girls, you'll still be figuring this out.
Well, and I've learned that too, because I think I'm always like, okay, because originally at the other organization, I just did middle school. And then the first set of girls I worked with went to high school, and I'm like, well, wait, right. We still got, like, there's still stuff to do. Like, there's still, I can't. Right.
We're just getting going.
Right. I can't.
3 years is a flash.
I can't leave them. I can't, like, what am I supposed to do? Just let them go off into the, you know, the world by themselves like that?
I remember a teacher telling me in the eighth grade that she hated teaching eighth grade sometimes because it's like she had to get rid of us once we were finally getting fun to be with.
Oh, that's,
and I was like, well, that is deeply offensive. And now I see where you're coming from. My mom said something along the same lines before I went to college. Yeah. Like, it's such a shame. I bet she wanted me to go to college in like the ninth grade and then come back
when you're like a fun. Age. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But meanwhile, I was a delight the whole time. So the eighth grade teacher and my mom were all wrong. But if you can survive the middle school years with these girls and still want more, I think that says something about your gifts.
Oh, I think it says about them.
I'm sure, too. They can't be who I was in middle school. I know that much. They've got to be more, I mean, really any positive adjective you could think of to apply, they probably would rank higher on the scale. But I'm sure that they wanted to be around you too, because 3 years in middle school and then high school is a big fat life jump.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's a whole different world.
Yeah. And so that's kind of, so that's how Girl at Grable kind of came around, because then it was like I had these girls and just through conversations with people in the community as far as like what do they continue to see the needs are in the schools in the area, like what needs do they see? Because the reality is that there's tons of nonprofits, there's tons of, you know, it exists.
What are the holes in what's out there?
Exactly. And so here we are now with a program, and I do middle and high school girls, and the middle school girls meet every day. I pick them up from school and Monday through Thursday, and we do snack and homework and talk about life things. Today we talked about being kind to one another and being what do you do if someone's being mean to someone else? How do you handle that? And then the high school girls, we meet as a group once a week after the middle schoolers meet. And
are you doing this at your house?
There's a local church that is letting us use their space, but a lot of there are things that still happen at my house, right. Which is great. So even aside from just the group, not time with the high schoolers, there's various things throughout the week that we're still touching base on because there are a lot of things happening in their lives. And right now we have girls doing college applications and figuring all that out. So that takes a little extra time than just doing our enrichment classes once a week.
So how do you develop this curriculum for enrichment?
That is such a great question.
Because I could give you a list of things that I would want teenage girls to, want teenage girls to fully understand.
I'll take your list.
I mean, the list would, it would take, you have 20 years.
Well, see, that's why I'm doing high school and middle school now, because there is not finished.
Right.
So I wish this was a beautiful played out like list of things that we're gonna just, these lesson plans and a notebook that was, you know, just tabbed, color coordinated, and
die for it.
Just all these. It is not my life.
I do want to remind you that some is better than none, and anything is better. Let's channel other people on the Enneagram and say that any positive effort is a positive effort. So. Yeah.
Also, the name of the podcast, but not all at once, is like my life mantra.
If
currently,
one more person quotes that to me in my actual life, where I'm like, and then I'm doing this, and then I forgot that, and the teacher emailed me, and then this lady said this, and I just know, and someone's like, oh, honey, but you can't do it all at once, and they give me a little winky face, and I'm like, there's going to be a throat punch. I don't know when it's going to be. I don't know if it'll be this fall or if I'll make it to 2020.
Oh, gosh.
But I just want to put out there that it is fresh. That y'all think I would take my own advice. So y'all are adorable. But yes, let me go ahead and give you this advice. Yeah, you can't do it all at once.
Right.
That's what we're here for.
Right. That's why I'm sitting on my couch
with the tarp.
With the tarp.
You're like, I mean, I've given myself permission to be less than perfect at this.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a list tonight, by the way.
I like it. Yeah. So it's just kind of honestly developed through my experience with them and life with them. With the middle school girls, currently it really is just building those new relationships, mm-hmm. which takes time to build level of trust and respect and even authority in their lives to speak things into their life. And so, yes, we can do homework and I can do homework with them, but to really have any sort of power, if you will, or, you know, that my words have value really mm-hmm. is what it is, that my words would have value with them takes time. Just because building trust takes time for most people. I'm that way.
It
takes, you can't just come in and...
And I don't want a middle school girl to take every single person at their word.
Right.
I want them to take that process to harden, trust their instincts, and get to know someone. So it is a good thing, but...
So then with the high school girls, as far as, like, curriculum stuff, I mean, we are doing a lot of life skills, really. Mm-hmm. Most of them... One of the sweet girls that I worked with was doing some other things, and she was like, but Miss Kim, I already know all this because we already talked about it in middle school, which I'm glad that she was kind of like over whatever she was doing, but also like glad that she learned it. Like she knows it. Like she had these skills at a younger age, and which is awesome. So, you know, we do job applications. We're going to go do it's called a personality index. It's a personality quiz at an office and learn about their best work methods and that sort of thing. But then we did a writing workshop last week and they loved it. And who
really
loves that? I mean, I do. Okay, but when you're like in high school on a Tuesday night when you could just be sitting home watching Friends.
But I mean, I'm sure that your kids are a lot cooler than me, but no, I would have probably been
loved it.
I mean, I'm just here for a gold star. Like that's
fair.
All.
Yeah, fair.
That's all I need in my life. But I do think that sometimes kids are smart enough to recognize maybe what they don't get enough of. And kind of see, like, oh, yeah, I want to be stretched this way more than adults, where I think we like to have this, maybe I'm speaking for myself, but have this veil of, like, if I'm not naturally good at it, if I don't already know about it, then forget it. Where I think that desire for personal development says a lot about who they are as people, as opposed to just, you know what, never mind.
Which is, I mean, and that was a large conversation I had with them when I left the other organization, because I didn't go to college when I was younger and I went back to Greenville Tech and I started taking classes. And so that is a constant conversation we have as far as being teachable, being like making the most of opportunities around you.
Does that give you more credibility, do you think, that you didn't, you know, leave home at 17 and go to, you know, Harvard and then the Sorbonne and then come home and like pull up in a porcelain china wagon or
that's
something?
That's a good credibility with the girls. I think so, because I think I understand more of their life than maybe other people.
Right.
As far as how I feel in the businessy side of the world, I don't feel like that. And some of that I have to let go of myself.
Do people really know that about you in a business setting, though?
Well, people ask a lot of questions and have a lot of opinions, which
that's a different topic we tackle regularly here.
Which is, most of it is super great and I'm really thankful. But like I said, I think some of it is me in my own head of like knowing that I didn't have that experience and working through that myself.
I
think it does make me more relatable to the girls.
I remember being told when I was 17, getting ready to graduate high school, that I was wearing like 95 different chords and they all, like, I could have recited off which each one meant. And, you know, I was really upset about maybe like the one I didn't get. And I remember someone telling me, the minute you cross the stage, all of this is worthless. And I was like, what? This is all I got. And I think I find the opposite is true, that nobody really asks for your credentials. Many people, I should say, don't ask for your credentials if they connect with who you are and trust you and your purpose. So I think that maybe that's where your girls probably relate to you. And that, like, what do I care what your resume says?
Right.
Literally not a bit.
Yeah.
I would much rather hang out with someone who cares about me than has all the letters after her name. So tell me what it looks like
to be involved with girls like this, understand their family dynamics and where your role fits in with their families. So do you talk to, do their moms, I mean, no offense to dads, do their parents weigh in on their enrichment experiences? How do they feel? How does that communication work? And how do you have time? I mean, you're pouring into these girls, another Christianese alert, pouring into these girls. How do you still carve out the time to kind of coordinate with maybe teachers, administration, church people, parents about where they are in other facets of their lives?
Yeah. I think all of that is very important because I think keeping like a closed circle around them is important. So that way they can't fall through the cracks in any way or any area of their lives.
Like the hours you're not with them.
Yeah.
Still...
So I talk to most of the parents. It varies based on each family as far as like their willingness, desire, care, concern, capacity even to care about their child in this way. So it just varies based on each family. Some families, I talk to the moms all the time and I love them. And some parents are been checked out for a while.
Anyone threatened by, that's probably a harsh word, but I can see if you're not in a really healthy place with your daughter, that having someone where Miss Kim says this, and next week Miss Kim said my essay looks amazing, and Miss Kim says I should, that might be hard to hear.
Yeah, I haven't personally experienced that in my time, and that could happen, and I just don't know about it. But for the most part, I think the families know I generally care about them as well as their child.
It's a package deal.
Yeah. While I can't do everything for the parents, like I said, I try and be as transparent as I can with the parent as far as like what we're working on.
Right.
I come to them if we are having an issue. You know, we're all on the same team at the end of the day. And that is language that I use with my girls and with the parents because that is truly how I feel. We're all on the same team. We're all wanting your daughter to succeed and to be the best version of themselves.
And did they, and by they I mean the parents, opt in to Girl Up Greenville?
Yes, yes.
So how does kind of the selection, might not be the right word, but how does enrollment, application, how does that work?
So for the previous, I mean for the high school girls, it was just all the girls I'd worked with in the past. And honestly, I didn't...
They got grandfathered in.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know. There were a few... Just because, as with people in general, your depths of relationship vary. Mm-hmm. And so even with these girls, like, some relationships are stronger than others. And it doesn't mean that I don't care about any of them less. It just varies. And then some of the moms found out that I was doing this and wanted to sign their daughters up, which was great. So that's been fun. And that's typically, at least currently, that's how I'm going to do high school. So kids who have already been with me, or at least, like, their close friends, because they're familiar enough to communicate the expectations as far as, like, what it looks like and how we function and how we interact with each other, even. For middle school, this year I'm just starting out with sixth grade, and those girls are siblings of the older girls.
Oh, that's great.
Or I'm familiar with them from previous organizations or references from the school.
So you are working with the school to some degree.
Yeah. So that is another thing that's really important to me, is once again, closing that gap. And just because if we know some of the dynamics that are happening at home, making sure the school is aware of them. So that way, you know, if there's some sort of behavior issue, that we can really determine, is it a behavior issue or is it because they're staying up all night taking care of their baby sibling or, you know, whatever it may be. Or since I am doing homework with them, communicating with the teachers to know really where they are struggling or what they're not struggling, you know, just keeping up with it that way. So to me, it's important to keep that conversation and relationship with the school is very key to me.
And those expectations that you mentioned, what are the expectations your girls?
I'm going to be honest. I feel like they're pretty high.
Great. You want to come parent? You have any free time in your busy schedule?
I feel like they're pretty high. Well, the whole goal, my whole heart in this is that I want these girls to know that they are loved and that they have worth and value. that is, at the end of the day, I want them to know that they have worth and value. And so it's a whole track of learning how to develop that. But it kind of, I was kind of peeling back the layers. If we want to get there, we have to do X, Y, and Z before we can even get to that, right? Mm-hmm. And so part of that is developing a sense of self, developing confidence. But before we can even get to that, it's creating opportunities for them to discover different things. If you don't know what you don't know, and so creating opportunities for them to try new things, for them to learn even just new words and concepts and ideas, whether that's in our room together through conversation or it's through field trips and experiences in the community, like visiting other companies or a yoga studio or a clothing store, you know, just hearing all these different words and ideas. So, but before we can get to that, we have to learn how to interact with each other, mm-hmm. With mutual respect and, carry ourselves that way. Be kind to ourselves as we're kind to others. And we have to learn how to engage with adults around us, because engaging with adults is the majority of your life.
And whether you like it or not.
Yeah. So those are kinds of, that was kind of going the backwards track, but it really starts with my expectations being, we're going to be respect is like the most important thing. And, but that bleeds into so many aspects of your life.
Sure.
Towards yourself, towards your teachers, towards your classmates, towards your items, like your clothing, your book bag, your, you know, let's be kind to these things around us and treat them well. And as well as having a teachable spirit, because it's
critical for everyone.
Right. And that's hard. It's humbling. It's very humbling. Okay. And the things that, most of the time, the things I have to tell my girls are things that I'm preaching to myself.
And you're like, I get it, Lord. All right. Just if you could get it in her brain and we'll deal with me later.
Yeah.
Parenting is very much a constant exercise in repeating to another human what you, in fact, need to be told. No. I think it makes sense, because really it does come back to respect. And if you talk to any coach or any parent, I mean, I remember thinking growing up that, you know, like performance is everything. So straight A's, you know, once I got straight A's, I think I was like 7. Just, by the way, we've had a counselor on here, so y'all need to worry about my mental health. I'm fine. But I told my dad when I was 7 that it made me sad to get straight A's because there was nowhere to go but down.
Oh, wow.
That seems like a normal thing, right?
Wow.
Yeah. That's a normal, just a normal, healthy thought pattern of your average second grader. So for me, understanding the concept that it's really not about your grades. It's about how you comport yourself, how you can be taught, what your effort level is, what your kindness looks like to your peers. Where, you know, if you make straight A's and come home with comments like, I don't ever want to see this kid again, get her out of my classroom, then we have a big problem.
Right.
And for people who are all about output, or maybe even too wrapped up in other things going on emotionally in their lives, which, you know, middle school is just one ball of emotions. Yeah. It's hard. It all comes back to humility and respect and responsibility. Growing up is rough.
Yeah.
It's rough even in the best circumstances.
Right. Yeah. And so for most of my girls, there's a lot of home situations that it's not that their families are terrible or anything. It's just when you have working parents and have multiple children, and
everybody needs a little backup, like another layer of someone who cares about your child.
And that's kind of what I feel this in my own life. And I feel this for my middle school self. I wish I would have had someone that was telling me, you're doing a great job, or why don't you try this, or you're really good at that, or keeping me accountable to something, you know. I wish I would have had that in my life then. Just speaking the positive things, but also like correcting me in a loving way. And direct, giving me some sort of guidance on how to do this thing we call life.
It's a struggle, because even if your parents, you know, if you have working parents, the time, the scheduling, the hours, that's tricky. But even if you don't, sometimes your parents can say the thing you need to hear, and it's just not sinking in. It's coming from them. I remember being like, "Oh, I'm so pretty. That's great, Mom. That's literally your job."
Right.
Never talk to me. And I feel horrible now because I realize they meant all the kind things they ever said, but having someone else who doesn't feel like legally bound to care for you say that kind of encouraging, uplifting stuff is probably really pivotal at that point. Because I don't know what their middle school is like, but I remember even the happiest, coolest kids in middle school weren't that happy or cool. It was just not a, it was a great time. It was a lot of figuring stuff out, and sometimes that meant not being the best version of yourself.
Yeah.
And that's a really, I mean, let's just all issue a blanket apology for everything that came out of our mouth from like 11 to 14.
I know. Well, you can raise mine up. You can keep going for that.
To like 27.
Right. To like last year. Yes. No, I think those are, but I think, you know, especially with so many things regarding mental health with young people, like, it's really important. Just who doesn't need someone else on their side, cheering them on, telling them you're doing a great job?
Absolutely. And someone who's objective, like I said, to you do trust more and can also see what you're good at, see where you're struggling.
Right.
And probably the benefit of you is that you're connected enough to school, to church, to parents, to call for backup. Like, it's not all on you. Like, you can say, okay, team, we need to rally here because this is a bad spot.
Yeah. And through my years, we've dealt with some very hard and dark things, you know.
Yeah.
Like, we've dealt with sexual abuse and from previous things that was happening currently, and parent incarceration, parent divorce,
stuff that shapes you a lot forever.
Yeah.
And it would shape you whether you were 12 or 45.
But those are such formative years. And so to be able to learn to process and honestly even just provide the additional resources needed to deal with those things at that age instead of just pretending like it doesn't exist
How do you find a balance between, and how do you communicate to the girls the balance between being like a safe place to confide in and also knowing, you know, like if you come to me with something, you can tell me anything, but I may be a mandatory reporter or I may,
yes. So there is
like,
that.
I'm going to have to tell your mom, I'll be with you. I'll sit right beside you. But
yeah. So there are situations where mandatory reporting is a thing for sure. Other situations,
or even if it's just the right thing, if it's not the legal mandatory thing, but like, I want to tell your mom this.
Yeah. And to be honest, I have to use some discretion with that based on knowing the family and how the family will respond. Like,
obviously, there's some things that are just no-brainer. We need law enforcement or we need school administration. But there's some stuff where, you know, maybe in this house, mom will come around and we can get everybody on board. But in this one, we're actually going to make it worse.
Correct. Yeah, so it's using some discretion with that. But even, honestly, this is a simple one, not as intense as some of those, but having a girl who got into a disagreement with her mom and was still mad and didn't even really tell her mom why she was upset. Mm-hmm. And so we talked through it, and I was like, you have to apologize to your mom, and I'm going to talk to your mom about if you did, you know? Because that's learning. That is, if we can't do that with your mom, like, we gotta.
This is the first step in a lot of.
Yeah. So even in those situations, I mean, it's obviously not as intense, but just having even those types of really conversations with the families and, it's a lot.
So how do you turn that off? I wouldn't even say at the end of the day, because I know if they're at your house, it's not like 5 o'clock. Thanks, girls. See you Monday. What does that look like? You know, obviously your husband is a tremendous support and is a part of the ministry in that he is like on board on Team Mogan. But how do you turn off the mental piece? How do you carve out time to not talk about that with him if this is so much of your life and happens in your home?
That's a good question. I, in the last, like I said, I've been doing some self-work. So I think that has been, I think the Lord knew that going into this
season.
Oh, yeah. Because I wouldn't be able I wouldn't be able to handle things well. And it's really important. I have to be in a healthy place for the most part. Like if I'm trying to.
You can't pour from a dysfunctional cup.
Right. And so I think I feel very blessed and fortunate and privileged, honestly, to have had the time to do that, mm-hmm. to do that in my life, because not everyone, not everyone has that opportunity. And as far as turning it off, it is very hard because they are real people.
Yeah.
So it's not like this project that's just like, okay, I'll come back to that.
I mean, it really is a form. We've talked about this before on the podcast, but there are 1,000 ways to mother that you don't have to carry a child, birth a child, live with a child to shape and mold and model and pour into a person who needs you. That comes with tremendous blessings, but the downside feels strong. But the other piece of it is, you know, you don't ever not wonder. I wonder how that talk went. I wonder how that test was. Mm. I wonder how that date went. I wonder if she got home like she said she was going to.
Oh, yeah, I do that.
She's still hanging out with that loser.
I'm like, can you text me a picture of your homecoming dress? You know, or what? I mean, I've shown up.
That's the perk of the hard work, mm-hmm. is the dresses is kind of part of it.
Let me see the dress. Let me see you on your 8th grade dance, you know. Or I went to a girl's 16th birthday recently, you know. So, it does feel a lot like parenting and mothering. So, it does feel that way. So you're right. It's not like this, let me just turn it off. I do have to, just as with any parent or any person who's married, you have to kind of fight for your relationship with your spouse, because it's real easy to just not. It's real easy.
Even
to
if it's just Instagram or fantasy football or whatever the thing is, everyone's got something that's drawing your attention.
Right. Well, because relationships are work.
And it's just exhausting and we are all tired.
Yes.
But, I mean, people are people. And even if that tarp is just crunching underneath you on the sofa,
we're going to be there.
You got to have some couch time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, yeah, my husband's been very supportive.
What does he do?
He works in the staffing industry. It's not really a glamorous sounding job, but he works really hard.
Does it give him good insight onto kind of what the girls need to equip them in the
world? Yeah, so he actually works in an industry that typically hires their parents. A lot of my girls' parents have worked in some of the industry that he works in. So, even just his business knowledge has been super helpful in getting things started, because that's a lot.
And you can't have, I mean, no matter how much you personally love the girls, care about them, and want to expand their horizons, you can't have the knowledge of all the things. Like, you've got to look to other people, to your, you know, husband and his work, and different people in the community to, like, we all get tired of it. Takes a village, but
it's a
saying for a reason. Like,
it is so
cliches
true.
Don't come from nowhere. It takes a village, because we all used to live in like one giant pile of people on a commune,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't have to say it took a village, because that's just how it was.
Right? No, it's very true.
It's not like that.
Yeah, it is. And I tell my girls this. I don't have all the gifts and talents, and so we need people in the community to come and do things with us, or show us different things, or expose us to different things, because I don't have them all. And in order for them to develop who they are as people, they need to see other people who have gifts and talents too. And just like, so once again, I'm practicing what I'm preaching in my own life, trying to run the program. I need other people's gifts and talents too, because
whether
I don't
that's
have
an
them
accountant
all.
Or
oh my goodness. Yeah.
A little legal, especially when you're trying to like get an LLC or get like a nonprofit. So, I mean, it's a lot of
just all the things.
And parts.
Yeah. There's a lot of things. So it takes a village on all the sides. And I honestly, when my sister first had kids, she's an incredible mom, mm-hmm. and her husband is amazing. And even with them, that was really one of the first time I was like, with them, like, they still need people to babysit.
Two really capable, loving, excited people.
Still need additional support.
Right.
And other people speaking into their kids' lives. And so,
And, I mean, it's a shame that sister wives minus the wife part aren't a possibility. Just like a sister, which is, I guess, exactly what you're doing. Yeah. Because we're all like, man, I can't be at the spelling bee and then also at this meeting. And then also, like, I mean, there was a point in May where all four of my children had different commitments. And the youngest, who was three, I mean, her commitment was like, I have a cough and I have to stay home. But everyone else was, you know, water day and I need to be sunscreened up and I need to have volunteers at school. And this one had a performance and this one had a spelling bee. And I thought, what is just, what does one do? And one calls for
backup.
Yeah. And that's what you get to be for your, which, by the way, everything you do when you're an aunt is fun. Even if it's like coming to a spelling bee.
Oh, yeah. I went to lunch the other day.
Like, who's here for the party?
Yeah.
So fun. And I mean, I came to eat lunch with my 5-year-old and I thought he would be so thrilled. He was like, hey, is daddy here?
Oh, gosh.
I was like, no, nope, it's just me.
Yeah, so I went to, I did go see my niece at lunch at school the other day, and it was so
they
fun.
Eat lunch at about dawn. So did you have to eat your actual lunch at like 4 hours later?
Yeah.
Those poor things, they really do eat lunch at like 10, 45.
I can, well, time. Also, I can't even with the cafeterias in town. I just can't eat.
I tried to bring Chick-fil-A when my daughter was in kindergarten, but they ate lunch at 10:25. And Chick-fil-A was like, ma'am, we don't have waffle fries right now.
Okay.
Do you want any little chicken minis? And I was like, yeah, sure.
That sounds great. So
funny. Like, this is not a normal lunchtime, ma'am.
Right.
What are you asking me?
No wonder why y'all are so grumpy by the end of the day.
And then at 3 o'clock, like, I am going to punch a hole in a wall. Right. It's a struggle. It's crazy, though, because no matter how hungry they get, they're never hungry enough for, like, red bell pepper slices and hummus. They're like, ooh, yeah.
I really need all the carbs and chips and
do you
Doritos.
Have any crackers?
Yeah.
You don't. Yeah, I'll just starve. Thank you.
Right.
Appreciate your time slicing up those healthy snack options. So talk to me about the ways that other people can play backup. Like if we're extending the sports metaphor pretty far, we'd be pretty far down on the depth chart. But what can we do? Like, where can we know how to help?
Well, overall, I just think people anywhere need to know that they can do this. I do have passion and I do have my own personal gifts and talents. But the reality is that it just takes someone to love and care. It doesn't, I mean, I don't have a fancy curriculum, as we've talked about. I don't have this beautiful college education or PhD or anything. It really just comes from a genuine place of wanting to love. And I think so many people have that and they can do that in their community. They can do it with the person in their kid's classroom at school. They can do, you know, there's so many ways to do that.
Doesn't have to be at a scale.
Right.
That feels really intimidating because we look at, and I mean, I'm sure it even does to you, we look at maybe the number of kids who drop out of high school or the number of girls who get pregnant or the number of kids who maybe don't have the support and are struggling or being held back academically. And you think that's a shame. Where would I even start? But I love that idea that undoubtedly there's someone in your school,
right,
in your kid's classroom, no matter what school they go to,
right,
who could use maybe coming home with your child once a week and having an afternoon snack and homework.
Exactly. It is really, I feel like it's really that simple. And,
but how do we do that without saying, hey, Kim, so I heard that your daughter is super not thriving. And obviously we are. So is she into red bell peppers and hummus? Because I have some extras.
Here's the thing that I think it has to come from a genuine place of like, I just want to love this kid and help.
Right. Whatever that
looks
like.
And that's a different attitude than like, oh, let me go pat myself
We're
on the back
so
for
great
helping.
At this.
Yeah, right. I'm really good at helping. And
so maybe it just
you
starts
me,
with friendship.
You know?
Like maybe it just starts with getting to know a child or a family and seeing, as opposed to marching in with like, you're clearly less fortunate.
Right.
Let me give you some fancy Whole Foods snacks.
Oh, right.
Although my kids wouldn't even eat those fancy snacks. So joke's on you. But I love that idea that if we can just start from a place of wanting to love, and maybe that's just playing. Maybe that's just
right. It just is being
out.
Kind.
Yeah. Just as being kind. And who knows, like, how much, one, you're helping that child, but also the family.
Right.
Which is super helpful.
Yeah. So, well, that is... Absolutely. There have been times where I have legitimately cried over someone doing something as small as texting and saying, hey, somehow we got out of the house early. Can I come by and grab your kids for school? And it was, you know, the night that you were awake all night dying of the flu. And... yeah, you may. You may take anyone and everyone out of my home right now that you would like to. So I'm sure that that would be appreciated. And I think, you know, there are things we don't always see. You know, my daughter mentioned once that she had a friend who kept falling asleep in class.
Right.
And that they were kind of laughing about it, not in an unkind way. I think the little girl was laughing about it too. But, you know, that's not normal for a thing like that to happen. And so it really did open up a conversation among some moms about, you know, how can we help? What's this? And in this case, it was a new baby and a single parent, and everyone's just, it's just rough. So it looked like some dinners brought over and just like a solidarity sister kind of pat on the back.
Yeah.
Where do you see the biggest needs being that could be addressed by an individual or a family
without
a curriculum, you know, without the time to create a program on their own?
I think it, well, I know my own needs, so that's one conversation.
Oh.
But, you know, I, like for us, honestly, Girl at Greenville, it's financial needs currently. Yeah.
How is the financial support working?
Well, currently.
By the way, talking about money is like my nightmare. So that's the bravest thing I've done in about a week, just saying that. But I'm doing it for you.
I'll receive that then. I'm going to receive you.
Nightmares.
And make myself even more
palpitations.
Money is such a weird thing.
It is.
But in order to continue to provide things,
right,
we have to like fundraise for a bus.
Right.
And that's, you know, so we are definitely always, we are looking for, people who want to be like committed financial partners with us,
mm-hmm.
Even eventually hiring people to continue doing this. We've had multiple schools reach out and ask us to partner with them, but we have to have people and transportation
to scale it
to do that. Sure. Yeah. And obviously it's not about just trying to reach as many girls as we can, but at the same time, when there are needs, like we want to be able to provide,
right,
we want to help.
Right now, are the girls who are participating, is there a cost involved for them?
There's no cost. It is a free program, too. There's no cost for any of the things.
So are you fundraising mainly through individuals?
Yes. So currently it's been individual contributions. I'm hoping to do like a fundraising campaign soon.
Yeah.
So if anyone has gifts and talents that they ever want to share with me in that realm.
In all of your free time.
I will receive any of the help. With that, because
like a
that's a whole nother
capital
world.
Sure. We'll use. I don't know what
capital
that is.
Capital campaign.
So, sure.
Right.
That sounds like a thing.
Online
people do.
Fundraising. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Whoever. Mm-hmm. Anyone who wants to give
any
I
kind
just...
of a contribution.
Right.
You got a bus.
Yeah. Or yeah, if someone has a 15 passenger bus that is new and they want to donate it, I will receive it. So I mean, with us personally, that is currently our biggest need. And then in general, I think, for just the community at large, I really just think it's just looking around you and taking a minute to step outside of your own world, and just there are people. And like I said, it doesn't have to look one way. It can just be anybody. There's so many people in our lives that just need someone else's on their team encouraging them. I don't know of any high schooler or any parent who like has a senior that wouldn't want help filling out college applications.
Absolutely.
I don't know anyone that wouldn't, you know, there's, you know,
right,
or helping take kids to and from school, or signing up a kid friend to come to soccer with your own kid. You know, like there's so many little ways to get involved. And the reality is I can't solve poverty. Poverty is probably always going to exist, not that I want it to, but we can create people who know that they are loved and know that they have worth and value, and they can live a different life because they're living from that. And we just get the joy of building that into them.
So when you talk about living a different life, let's talk about what we anticipate and hope and pray are the positive effects of
pouring into people, of yeah. investing your time and your life and your heart with these people. What is the vision for what these girls' lives will look like when they finish, besides like you weeping in the corner because they're like leaving home?
Well, I always talk about putting them in a bubble and like keeping them and protecting them. Mm-hmm. And I reminded some of my girls of that today when they were talking about going to college. I was like, I want to put you on a bubble, and you wouldn't let me.
Right.
So honestly, it looks different for each girl because while our society does have a pretty specific idea of what success is, that is very limiting for people who, whether it's not the financial resources or they're just not created to,
right,
whatever X, Y, or Z that our society kind of stamps on people, that is very limiting and doesn't allow you to really feel good about yourself in your life because you're always feeling
if you don't check that box. Doing,
yeah.
So what does success look like to you for those girls, like in a non check the box?
I think I honestly feel like, because someone asked me how I was going to feel, because this is the first group of girls that are seniors, how I was going to feel when they graduate high school. And of course, I'm beyond proud because statistics show most of the girls would not. Mm-hmm. And
are they on track to graduate?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've seen your face light up like that since we started talking. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, they are.
That's a lot of hard work.
Yeah. And they, so of course I'm like going to be so proud. We're doing college applications, so we're doing that. But I'm more than that, I'm proud of who they are today. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of the people that they are. And I want them to carry that out with them.
Whatever comes next.
Right. So yes, I would love for them to go to college and have this amazing experience, meet new people, try new things, positive things.
Yeah.
You know, get a job and a career that they love and that they feel passionate about. I, you know, buy a house, have a savings account, you know, these little things. But
if none of that happens.
If none of that happens and they end up living in an apartment in the same town they grew up at, you know, like working at the grocery store, but who they are as a person is incredible, and they are kind and loving and treat others with respect and treat themselves with respect, like that is success.
That's a tremendous victory for any
family. For anybody, right? Because I mean,
I don't want you to have worldly success, by the way, and treat other people like trash.
Have worldly success and really hate your life at the same time.
Right.
Like, I don't want that for them. I want them to just feel loved and that they have value. I am honestly proud because I want that for myself. Like, I have to fight for that for myself. Mm. And so I want them to feel that because, you know, I know when I feel that, like, that is just such a game changer of my life perspective.
And has Girl Up Greenville brought a lot of that to the surface for you?
For my own life?
Mm-hmm.
I think just, yes, probably. Like I said, because I'm learning new things as I see the things in them. Yeah, I'm sure, like, with parenting, when you look back, you're like, oh, I was this way. Why was I this way? Or why did I do that? I wouldn't have made the most of the opportunities around me. Why? Because I was anxious and insecure.
Right.
You know?
Even if everyone gives you the best advice ever. I did this podcast episode, like a pep talk for new moms. And it's not that people didn't say those things to me when I was pregnant or had a newborn. I just couldn't receive it. I couldn't really fully process it. I just wasn't able to. And so there's so many things that you look back and think, oh, if I can just make this so much easier for my child, my friend, this person who's walking this path,
right,
it would mean so much to me. One little tiny piece,
like just all the things that you thought were important and mattered, and the way that you invested your life,
and you never think about it again when you're like, it's worthless now.
Yeah. And but it seems so hard in the moment, which is fine,
and all consuming.
Yeah. And I mean, especially just being, you know, really, I mean, I keep talking about the love thing, but I think how often are we speaking life-giving, loving things over each other? It's not very much, especially middle school and high school, really. I mean, it's like
just like getting by.
Yeah.
Everyone's just so turned inward, I think, focused on their own needs that especially, I mean, forget it. In middle school, it's about what feels good in that moment. Like, yeah. saying that not awesome thing makes me feel less terrible about myself. So maybe I'll do that. But what I thought was really pivotal, you said a few minutes ago, was about these needs existing in every community and just looking outside of the bubble you're in. What I think is really fascinating about this is that you and I both live in the city of Greenville. Mm-hmm. And this isn't even that far away from our individual houses. I mean, these are not girls.
It's less than a mile.
Right. These are not girls who, you know, like you have to pack up and haul 35 mm-hmm. minutes to get to. This is your world. It's right. just not always the houses that you would spend time in otherwise.
Yeah.
So I think that that was really telling for me when you said how easy it was because your girls live so close to you.
Yeah. They live right down the street.
It's the wildest thing. I'm sure that that makes their parents feel better knowing, I mean, they're not driving to, you know, a different part of town and yeah. everything looks different and the people are totally different. I mean, this yeah. is a, cities are kind of a mix.
Yeah. Which I think is, I appreciate that. But that's the whole,
have you done Tim Keller's, he did something, was it called The City, The Church in the City?
I don't know it, but gentrification is a whole nother conversation. I'll let someone else handle that one.
Some people who spend their lives in that arena. Oh my gosh. It's a thing. And Greenville is really struggling in every sense.
It is hard. Yeah. It's just, that's a whole.
The good, the bad, and the ugly of the kind of growth that a city like Greenville has. But we're not the only town.
Right. And that's even going back to the idea of poverty. Like, these things are always going to exist. It's just, what do you do in the midst of it? How do you respond?
You can maybe do for one what you wish you could do for everybody. You know, like, I can't give you $100,000, but I can have you to dinner and, you know.
Right.
You might decide, wow, my family is so much cooler than this one. Maybe that's the lesson you take away from it is, oh, boy,
I'm sitting.
Yes. And if that perspective is what you needed, then I remember having a couple of sleepovers where I was like, y'all are weird. I want to go home.
My family. Yeah. Get me back.
My own brand of weird is really what it comes down to. Like, everyone is strange. We're just used to our own brand. And I think you've probably been grafted into that little friend group so that you're at least they're kind of weird.
Yeah.
So the last thing I'd like to ask you is what you want people to know about what you're doing, about these girls. Like, you said that a lot of the great things coming from this kind of work is a testament to who they are. Mm-hmm. So what do you want? I mean, we're not quite old enough to be like the youth. The youths,
I know.
They don't know anything and they're just disrespectful. And so we're not at that point, but I still think because I don't have children who are in middle and high school, I don't have a clear view of kind of what people at that age are like besides what I was like. And I wouldn't hold anyone to that standard. So what do you want us to know about the girls you're spending so much time with?
Well, I think there's two different aspects that I will probably answer. One is I want people to know, well, I'll go with what I want them to know about the girls, especially the girls I work with, obviously. They are incredible. They are resilient. They are compassionate. They are hardworking. And they are truly trying to be, like, the best version of themselves. And I think what really sucks most of the time is that because of things in our society, they don't have the same opportunities. They don't have the same chances to participate in life in America. And so
everything is going to be that much harder for them.
Mm-hmm. Just the, it doesn't matter what side you're on. The reality is statistics exist because there's data that backs that up.
Evidence is evidence.
And so, I think that is the other aspect of that is I wish people could think differently. Like, that's what I want people to know, to think differently, to not put everyone in a box because of other people. And that is true across the board of humanity, right?
Any kind of difference.
Yeah. And I mean, I think people, we develop just such ideas in our mind, and then we get so used to our own comfort zone and who we're around, and it makes sense that we're around people who are exactly like us because that is comfortable. Mm-hmm. But you're missing out on like the beautiful side of humanity and the fact that we are so different and diverse and bring different things to the table when you do that. And unfortunately, generations ago, we did that with a whole race of people.
Categorically, yeah.
Yeah. And so, anyways, that's also a whole nother conversation, but
we'll bring in some historians and sociologists. And,
yeah. I don't know. I just think that is, I know these girls, and so I get to feel that about them. Mm-hmm. And other people would feel the exact same way if they were around them. And we can break down so many barriers in our society if we would just take a moment to have some sort of understanding of other people, and that comes from just, you know, like just talking to people,
even if they don't look like us.
Yeah,
it's an incredible thing. I think the ability of these girls probably to accept you too.
Oh, right,
because you are, you know, someone who like goes to bar class.
Hmm.
You know,
right.
And you're using phrases like self-work, and they're probably like, listen, Instagram lady, like,
yeah,
that is just, you know, it's not a world that probably a marginalized high schooler doesn't hang out in a gym, yeah, or a Pilates studio, or, and so to be able to open up to someone, despite what they may have experienced, growing up, is very telling.
Yeah. Well, they really are just so amazing. They're just great people. They just really are incredible people who are, even if they, like I said, even if they were like today, this is just who they are today. And
right,
there was no more growth. Like, they're still incredible women who are respectful and loving. And, I mean, but part of what defines them is that they are trying really hard. And
so this isn't even about improvement. This is about what you deserve. This is about, like, you are a wonderful person and you deserve, yeah, opportunities. And that's, yeah, what we're going to try and connect you with.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. And I think that's a perspective shift that's probably really critical. You're, mm-hmm, not a project. Like, we're not here to,
right,
it's not a success for me to get you to ABC points.
Right.
You're pretty great, but let me show you this other stuff that, man, I wish I had known when I was in middle school.
Yeah.
Oh, bless you for middle school. Bless you, middle schoolers who will never listen to this podcast, but middle school.
And middle school teachers, because they're doing it all day. And
then some of them go home and still raise middle schoolers.
Right.
I will leave you with this thought. We had someone on the podcast who teaches elementary school. She teaches fifth graders, which is, you know, tiptoeing quickly into the world of hormones and pheromones, yeah, and all of the things. And she said that one thing she tries to keep in mind, and I as a parent have tried to keep this in mind, is that children tend to fall apart, act out, whatever you want to call it, in the place where they feel safest. So, you know, thank God for my children. That's when they get in my car, walk in my house, and it's exhausting, and it requires more being a grown up of me than I probably really like. But for some of her students, acting out in class is because they're required to be a grown up at home, or, yeah, they are required to be on to be,
right,
an exhausting version of themselves. So coming to school and knowing you're not going anywhere, you're safe, means that they maybe aren't the best, yeah, version of themselves.
Well, they get to fall apart there. Yeah.
And that's probably not pretty to see. And it would be really easy to like throw your hands up. But that opened my eyes too and broke my heart a little, mm-hmm, bit, because I want to be clear that I don't love the tantrums, but I always want you to know that I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
I still do that with my mom. Like, I have a bad day and like, you're going to feel it more. I'm going to be super nice to the lady checking me out at CVS.
Oh my gosh, true.
But you'd call me at the wrong time and I'd be like, it's, what?
Right.
But, I mean, God bless you.
Right. Just,
so I'm keeping that in mind, and I know that that comes into play, but it really did change my view of children. Like, they're just children.
Right.
And sometimes we see the worst of them because they just haven't had the opportunity to be the best. So I love that that there are people like you doing this work and giving us the chance to participate. And I hope you'll keep us posted when you do your, whatever the appropriate nonprofit words are, capital campaigns, so that we can be involved and find ways to mentor or share ideas in our own communities for, you know, a lot of the folks who listen aren't here. So just knowing that it doesn't have to be official. It could just be one girl.
Yeah.
And like just riding with you to soccer.
Yeah.
That would be a game changer, especially for her tired mom. but yeah, no one was ever sad because they had more people who loved them.
Yeah.
That just doesn't happen. Was there anything else that you wanted us to know? How about where people can find you?
So people can find us on social media. Mm-hmm. So it's GirlUpGVL.
Mm-hmm.
And also on our website, you can find out how you can get involved. As I mentioned earlier, yes, you can do this anywhere. But if you want to do it with us, we would love to have you.
Because you're already doing it, so you might as well jump in.
You can.
Put those links in the show notes so that people can find that when they listen to you.
Yeah, so whether it's mentoring, volunteering, or being a financial partner, all of those things are important and needed for these girls.
It takes a village.
It takes a village.
We'll make some t-shirts. You probably never heard that before, guys. But it does.
That's our new slogan.
Just came up with that used to be in advertising. Well, thank you so much for coming, especially because I know that evenings are probably a precious commodity for you.
Oh, it is fine. I will go sit on that tarp-covered couch.
Do it, girl. That's it for today's But Not All at Once. Thanks so much for joining us, y'all. I hope you'll subscribe because we have a lot to talk about this season, and I don't want you to miss a single story. If you love what we're doing, would you consider leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts? It would mean the world. Like more than a porch drop of a large Chick-fil-A sweet tea with pellet ice. It's a big deal. Come join the conversation at But Not All at Once on Instagram or email me directly at butnotallatonce@gmail.com. As always, I'm Ann Smith, and I'll see you right here next week. Bye, guys.